Hello, and welcome to the podcast version of the standalone film from Burning Heart, Discover the Bible, a message from God. I'm David Ingall, and it's great to have you listening in. Westminster Abbey is where England's kings and queens have been crowned for nearly 1,000 years. Each time, amidst the pomp and splendour of the coronation, the king or queen is presented with a Bible and told, "Receive this book, the most valuable thing this world affords. The glory and wealth of a nation, crowns and crown jewels are all dismissed next to this book." And what the Bible says about itself makes even that claim look small. It's more precious than gold, sweeter than honey, powerful as fire, strong as a sledgehammer, sharp as a sword, perfect and eternal. This book is quite something. And yet most of us, even most Christians, don't really experience the Bible like that. We find it hard, even boring, a struggle and a mystery rather than something precious and exciting. Why? And can that change? I love the story in Luke 24. Of how Jesus met two disciples on the road to Emmaus shortly after his resurrection. It's actually the inspiration behind our name as a ministry, Burning Heart. The two disciples talk with Jesus about the scriptures, and after he's left, they say to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" When we were starting out, we felt that God highlighted that verse for us as a vision. And our prayer for each of our films is that they would do the two things mentioned there, opening the scriptures so that as you watch, you understand them better, but then also causing your heart to burn within you because God has been at work, meeting and speaking to you by his Holy Spirit as we open the scriptures. It's an exciting vision, or we think it is, and both parts are vital. I think many of our struggles with the Bible come from missing that second bit. It's not enough just to open the scriptures, to study and learn and explore, although that is key. We also need our hearts to burn within us. And that comes from meeting with Jesus as we read. I still remember the first time my heart burned within me as I was reading the Bible. I've actually still got a record of it in a little notebook because I was so excited I wanted to write it down. I was 8 at the time and I remember the feeling of joy and elation as what I read came alive for me. I don't think I fully understood, I was only 8, but looking back I realised that what was happening was that God was meeting with me and speaking to me as I read, and that's marked me and changed me ever since. If you turn the page in that little journal, you can see that the journaling petered out pretty quickly. But I've never lost that sense of possibility when it comes to the Bible. And each time I open it, my hope and prayer is not just that I would learn, but also that I would meet with God. And that has usually been my experience day by day as I read and pray. And that's why I love the Bible and do read it and study it and want to make films about it. Because here, I can meet with God, and so can you. But how? How can I say that, and how can that happen? And the answer lies in what the Bible is. Have you ever stopped to ask, what is the Bible? It seems a simple, even obvious question, but the way we answer transforms how we read and experience it. And I think that a key reason so many people struggle with the Bible is because we get that question subtly wrong. Some of us read it as a history book. We expect it to teach us about facts and events in the history of Israel or about Jesus' life. And it will. It is history. But it is also more. Others read it as an instruction manual for ethics. We're looking for help and guidance on how to live life well. And we will get it here. This is the best ethics you'll ever find. But it is also more. Others read it as a textbook. We're looking to learn about God. We want to know doctrine and theology, and we will. This is the place to learn them. but it is also more. The Bible is all of these things, and studying them is part of opening the scriptures. But what makes the Bible unique and precious and powerful, what makes hearts burn, is something else, something more. The Bible is also a message from God. God speaks to us through it. We see this in how Jesus saw and used the Bible. This passage in Luke 24 is just one of dozens of places where we see how special and important he thought it was. He's meeting these two disciples for the first time after his resurrection, and he also knows he'll soon be returning to the Father. It's a key and precious moment. And what does he do? He explains scripture to them. And again in the Gospels, we see something similar as Jesus talks about and uses scripture. One of the main ways in which he refers to the scriptures is as the Word of God, because the phrase gets used so often both in the Bible and in churches today, we can often miss the force of what's being said. But it's actually an amazing claim. What Jesus is saying is that this is God's Word and that he speaks to us through it. That is what makes the Bible so powerful and precious. At this point, though, you might ask, did God write the Bible? After all, it seems to be a bunch of books written by a variety of human authors, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Isaiah, and so on. How then can we say that it is God's word? And again, Jesus points us towards an answer here in Luke 24. A few verses earlier, we read a little of what Jesus actually said. How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. He seems to recognise that scripture works on two levels. He's clear that it does have a variety of human authors, Moses and all the prophets. But it is also scripture, a word that simply means writings, but which was and is used specifically to refer to all the different books that were recognised as being from God. We don't get much more detail here, but we do get a bit more elsewhere. Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples, explains this process of inspiration beautifully. No prophecy of Scripture had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. I find the illustration of an orchestra quite helpful here. It's made up of lots of different individuals, each playing their own instrument, using their own skills and expertise. But when they come together to play, they do so under the direction of composer and conductor, following their inspiration and instruction. And so what you hear is the music of Bach or Beethoven or Mozart, even though played by a myriad of different virtuosos. And so it is with Scripture. God is both composer and conductor, leading and guiding and inspiring the different human authors as they speak and write and sing. And so what you hear is the words of Isaiah or Paul or whoever, just as you do hear the genius of Yo-Yo Ma or Sir James Galway while listening to the orchestra play. And yet what they are playing is the music of Mozart, even as the Bible is the music of God. So when we as Christians read the Bible, we're not just reading a textbook or instruction manual. We're listening to the Word of God. And that should completely change how we read and experience it. For everyone else, it's just another book. And they might recognise and study its genius and beauty, but only in the way that we might read Shakespeare or the works of Julius Caesar. But for us, well, here we hear the voice of God. So how does that change how we read and experience it? First, it changes our purpose when we read it. Our focus and aim becomes relational rather than informational. We read it to meet with God rather than simply to learn. I love books and history, and I'll happily get lost in them for hours. But I've never read a book and found my heart burning within me like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, or me when I was 8 and since. Facts and stories and knowledge can inform us, even inspire us. But when we read a message from someone we love, that's something far more. When I started dating Liz, I changed my phone's text tone for her. And every time it pinged her tone, my heart leapt and I couldn't get the thing out quick enough. I've still got every message she's ever sent me. And I went back recently to the very first one, her response when I asked her out on a date. I think it's probably the most exciting thing I've ever read. And it was a yes. And we came to a lovely little restaurant in Hyde Park. I did also learn lots from her message. For instance, that she was doing freelance work at the time, and so her diary was fairly flexible, particularly on Thursdays and Fridays. Maybe I could also have analysed her writing style and worked out lots more about her. But obviously that wasn't what got me excited. I wanted to know her and hear her speaking to me through this message. And it's the same with the Bible. We read it to hear from God and hear him speaking to us through it. And that isn't just about listening to what he has said in the past. It's more immediate than that. If we're Christians, we're in relationship with the author. God's Holy Spirit lives with and within us. And he brings the words of Scripture to life as we read it and uses them to speak to us directly today. Hebrews describes God's word as living and active. And one feature I love about that book is that it often quotes the Bible in the present tense, as the Holy Spirit says. God speaks, present tense, directly to us, to you, to me, through it, by his Holy Spirit. The second way this changes how we read and experience the Bible is that if this is God's word, then we can trust it and build our lives on it, like the foundations of a great building. It's not just another book or collection of ancient manuscripts with all the inevitable flaws and inaccuracies that implies. It's from God, written and directed by him. And so we can trust it, even as we trust God. That's something Jesus was very clear on again and again. In our passage, he starts by telling them how foolish they've been and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He expects us to believe what we read in the Bible. And he then goes on to say that the Messiah had to suffer these things and enter into his glory, because that's what we find in the scriptures. Again, there's something dynamic and active in this. It's not just that the Bible is true, although it is, and because of this, we can trust the truth of what we read in it, even if sometimes we get it wrong. It's also that should then change the way we live our lives. One of Jesus' most famous parables is about the importance of hearing these words of mine, of Jesus's, and putting them into practice. If we do, we're like a man who built his house on rock. If we don't, we're like a man who built on sand. When the storms came down, the house built on rock stood firm, but the house built on sand came crashing down. Because the Bible is God's word, we can trust that what we read in it is the best and only good way to live our lives. We're building on good, the best foundations. That needn't mean we go back to reading it like a textbook, though. There is value in systematically working out what the Bible teaches about work or sex, or, as we're doing now, itself. That can be part of opening scriptures, as we see Jesus modelling on the road to Emmaus. But I think that the main way we're supposed to learn and put this all into practice is still relational, through regular reading and encounter with God. That's certainly been my experience, and it reminds me of how little children learn, not from textbooks or long lists of instructions, but through relationship and example. They see their parents walking and gradually try to copy it. They learn to speak as they listen to what's said around them, or they pick up right and wrong from mum and dad. I think that's how we're supposed to learn and build our lives on scripture. We read and listen and grow. I've often wondered if that's why the Bible sometimes seems disorganised. If I was writing it, I might have produced a systematic theology textbook, which would have been great for working out all the right answers, but rather less use for what really matters. To grow in our faith and relationship with God, we need something more real and like life, which is maybe why God's given us a beautiful jumble of stories and poetry and wisdom and prophecies. That draws us into relationship with our Heavenly Father. And as it does, like little children, we learn better how to live our lives. The final way all this changes how we read and experience the Bible is that it shows us the point of it. Jesus taught those two disciples in Luke 24 what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. It's all about Jesus. And that also means actually that it's all meant for us, not just the original audience with us listening in like eavesdroppers. As Peter puts it, the prophet spoke of the grace that was come to you, to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing. They were not serving themselves, but you. I think back to that illustration of the orchestra. The musicians learn and practice their individual parts, but it's only when they all come together that the voice of Mozart or Beethoven is fully heard. And if you look at the individual parts, you need to have that bigger vision in your mind. Some bits will still be beautiful on their own, others less so. Some parts will carry the melody and theme of the whole piece, while others seem to sound very different. But all of them are part of a greater whole. And it's the same with the Bible, with each book and human author coming together in beautiful harmony, and every part pointing to Jesus as the theme and melody of the whole piece. Sometimes that can be immediately obvious, say in a gospel or prophecy in Isaiah. At other times it can seem more obscure and baffling. Some strange law from Leviticus may seem as difficult to relate to Jesus as the beat of the bass drum can be to relate to the theme of the symphony. And yet the drum does speak to the tune, and so does Leviticus. And as we read every part, we listen for Jesus and look for how this helps us understand him. I find this really brings the Bible to life for me, because rather than obscure facts and history, what I'm discovering is something about my Lord and Saviour and hearing his voice to me. I also find it helps me to understand, especially the difficult bits. And one key tip and principle when reading the Bible is to use one part to understand another. So, the Bible is a glorious symphony in which we hear the music and voice of God speaking to us, drawing us deeper into relationship with him, showing and teaching us how to live life well, and pointing us to Jesus. Shall we pray that that happens as we read? Lord Jesus, would you open the scriptures to all of us? Every time we read your word, meet with us, teach us, and reveal yourself to us, that our hearts may burn within us. Amen.